These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
It's the Kashi Tapes podcast. John Hewlett and...
Favaz. Hi, John.
Hello. Yes, we are doing another episode here. And it's not part two, but we thought we'd do it, go ahead, as a follow-up to last week's. Mm-hmm. And that's an interview you did with Jason Newsted.
Formerly of Metallica.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the first episode that you heard last week, he was in Metallica. It was in 1997, and he talked about how great it was at being in Metallica. Mm-hmm. Then he would quit just a few years later.
Right.
This interview that we're about to hear was after he quit. So I hope I ask why he quit and all that good stuff. But he was playing that night at the Galaxy, I believe. His new band called Echo Brain. And, you know, he talked a lot about, you know, the freedom to record people, to record bands when he was in Metallica. Mm-hmm. And that's like one of the great things, you know. Now he was on his own.
Yeah.
And we'll see what he says.
And getting a chance to do all those things that he was telling you he loved doing.
Yes.
Before leaving Metallica. Well, I don't know how that's worked out for him between now and then, but this interview will give you a little glimpse of how it was working out, at least at that point in time. With, again, the band was called what?
Echo Brain, I believe.
Echo Brain. All right, here we go. Jason Newsted.
Five Real Rock Radio. That is Aaron.
Who is that? That's him?
That's him.
What?
He was not messed up. Or
he wasn't?
Nope.
Just having fun.
Yep.
And Lewis doing Black from Pearl Jam. And with that howl right there is Jason Newsted.
And you're on the air? You were on the
air? Yes, we were live on the air.
Okay.
Yep.
Echo in your brain. Can you hear it?
That's right.
You don't have to keep saying it over and over. I'm not.
Formerly of Metallica and now with his new band, Echo Brain. Jason, welcome back to St. Louis.
Thank you.
And, man, it's been a long time, I guess. And
yeah, it's been a long time, but it went by pretty quick, didn't it, actually?
Well, here's my story.
You sure he's not on something? He's talking real fast.
He is talking real fast. But listen to the story coming up.
Okay.
You might remember this when I say this. I interviewed you at Savas Center, and we were going through the interview, and I had my, it was a DAT player.
Oh.
And you looked down at the thing, and you could see the tape wasn't rolling, and we did about 2 minutes of the interview, and you go, "Dude, I don't think you hit record." And you were so nice. We started the interview over. I did hit record, but I just didn't hit it right, you know, or whatever. And you were cool enough to start the interview over.
Me and technology.
I felt like a big douchebag, and I really did.
But you're over it now.
I'm over it now.
We're going to make up for it this time.
So anyway.
So we're on the air, right?
We are live, though. We are on the air.
You pushed the right button this time.
So how are you, first of all? You look good.
Good, thank you.
Look about the same, really?
Pretty much about the same, you know.
What was the time period between these two interviews?
This was, I believe, when did he come to town with Echo Brain? I'll have to look it up.
Okay.
But I sound a little sped up, too. I don't know if you want to control the pitch there, if you want to slow it down just a little bit, but we'll see.
I can do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hit play, and we'll see.
I actually shaved 20 years off my life since you've seen me.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I'm 19 again right now, and everything's cool, and... Basically playing with these younger guys, you know, at...
Well, how old are you? You're not old.
I'm not old. But these guys are
younger
24
than
and 25. I could still run circles around them, no problem. They're having fun keeping up with me right now. It is their first time on tour ever. So...
So you're like daddy to them,
no,
aren't
don't
you?
Say that. I'm big brother.
A big brother.
I'm big brother. I'm there, like, try to guide them and show by example what not to do, but also let them taste some crap.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that kind of thing, but also taste some sweet stuff, too.
Taste some crap and some sweet stuff.
Yeah, it's a good way to live your life.
Yeah.
So the Echo Brain record came out in 2002. So I'm assuming that that's, you know, and he left Metallica in 2001, I think. So, you know, 2002, 2003 is when this time frame of this interview happened.
So there was about a 5-year gap between the interview from last week and this one.
Yes, at least. Mm-hmm.
And that has been happening quite a bit, actually. One of the main differences between the Metallica thing and the Echo Brain thing is that when you look out in the crowd of Metallica, the first, say, 15 or 20 layers is all white guys, man, in black shirts,
right?
You know? And in Echo Brain, the first 4 or 5 rows is girls. Wait, no, wait for Dylan to...
Big difference
there.
Hey.
I like that crowd.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did, too.
Hanging stuff, you know?
That's better.
I'm digging that part of it. I know you are. Pretty cool.
Let's talk about the band. It's called Echo Brain.
Right.
Now, this is the band that you've been doing this project for a long time.
Since 95.
That's what I thought, because I think when I interviewed you, you were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the band also that James and Lars didn't want you to be doing, really, because they wanted your attention to Metallica, right?
It was basically James. He's always been the protector of the name, you know what I mean? The protector of the integrity of the name of Metallica. There was always one answer to whatever came up to, you know, confront the name in any way. If it was going to be tarnished in any way, the same answer was no, no matter what.
No matter how good
it could be. No matter what. And no matter how it would affect anything or whatever. And he, even after being together for 15 years and helping each other earn what we earned and, you know, realize our own dreams, our collective dreams, all that stuff, he still was trying to be protective like that. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we got to where we are with Metallica and all that kind of thing, but at the same time, as a human, as a man, he should have seen, as my brother, and being so close to me and knowing how I am, that is what keeps me alive. He should realize that that's what I need to do in order to, you know.
Now, you know, that's the same thing with Van Halen, the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't want any outside interference, you know, and, you know, same thing happened with Sammy and the whole bit. It's kind of weird, you know.
Yeah. If you're in our band, you're in our band.
Yeah,
if you're not, then you're not with us. And
yeah.
But again, like he says, they dealt with it for 15 years.
Right.
So what was the final straw that broke the camel's back is what I'd like to know.
Well, maybe we'll find out.
Yes. Stay with us. Time for a commercial. See, we
No, there are no commercials, John.
No,
you were still in Metallica now, and you had this thing going on, and it was just hatching now. Do you think it would be a different story now, or do you think they'd still be the same way and go, no?
I think it'd be a very different story.
Yeah.
We know each other better than we ever did before. Now that what's happened.
Well, sucks it had to happen like that.
But it needed to happen. It needed to happen for them and for me. I've been doing...
Boy, he sounds pretty adamant about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Projects since about 1992 with different members of different bands that people know, you know, Sepultura, Machine Head, whatever, all through the days.
Right.
And now this thing has come to, it became so developed in the beginning of 2000 that it is something that I decided I wanted to invest money and a lot of time into. Echo Brain and Metallica coexisted for years. There was never, if you ask anybody that went to a Metallica show, ask him if I was ever not dedicated to my show, to my game. I mean,
you were always.
And that's how it was. And so I couldn't see how, for one thing, Echo Brain is nothing like Metallica. It's so on the other side of the planet.
I can't wait to play what I was hearing before.
Yeah, and it's just way, way different. And I just couldn't see how. And
way, way different how? I'm not familiar with Echo Brain.
I'm not either, and we didn't play them.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I may have played a song here during the interview, but if you asked me a song, my life depended on it.
Yeah.
I would die.
But it didn't sound like Metallica?
No. I have no idea.
It couldn't. I mean, the scream, the vocals had to be different.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yep.
Thing as beautiful as this could affect the monster that Metallica has created, or that it would change people coming to see the band, or it would change people buying Metallica records. I mean, if anything, like when I see Flea playing in Jane's Addiction, you know, I'm going, dude, that's so cool. You can play in Jane's, you can play in Chili Peppers, you can go over here, and nobody says anything. Everybody just says, wow, he's a good musician. He's getting out there. He's feeling alive. He's doing what he likes to do, you know. And that's what's happening now.
Wow.
So Echo Brain, we got on tour for, it was our 10th show or something like that, the first real tour. Got Speed Dealer album that I produced, my first production effort of a band that I wasn't a member of.
Cool. How was
coming
that?
Coming out June 4th.
How was that?
That is experience. Incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that if anybody has any... I mean, if anybody who likes real metal, not just like this new metal kind of contrived whatever stuff, true metal, old school, 300 shows a year out of a van metal, you know, that's these guys.
Cool.
And so June 4th, that's dropping. If anybody digs that chainsaw guitar like Kill 'Em All and all that, Slayer of 83, you better pick up Speed Dealer.
Speed Dealer.
Speed Dealer. Used to be known as REO Speed Dealer back in the day till Kevin Cronin got a hold of them. And now they're just Speed.
That's good.
That's what I'm looking up right now. They were known as REO Speed Dealer. Gosh.
It's funny.
By early 93, REO Speed Dealer had run its course and broke up.
Oh, okay. Kevin Cronin wasn't a part of breaking them up.
Well, if I read more, I might find out for you.
But, yeah.
Dealer, which is better anyway. It's not quite as comical, and now people can take them more serious. And they will once they hear the music. And then Voivoda's reformed, the original three members. They've asked me to play bass, so I'm going to do that thing in the next 16 months. We're going to make a record together.
Wow.
Government Mule called. Was that today?
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Yesterday? Yesterday.
Yeah.
And asked me to play on a track on their new album.
Did you do some live stuff with them?
Five shows with them a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, how was that? Warren
incredible.
Hayes, what an MF
Matt
on Apps. Guitar.
Matt
and
Apps.
Matt Apps,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So that was a beautiful experience, and I want to pursue that further. That will be something that I will chase down until...
Okay, what instrument does he play again?
He plays bass guitar.
Bass guitar,
yes.
Right. So, I mean, you're the bass guitarist. You're not a vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me like he's a little... he's got a little too high of opinion of himself.
He's trying too hard.
And his place in a band, because bass players are kind of a dime a dozen.
Right.
I mean, is he such an extraordinary bass player that he's off the charts great?
No, never heard that.
I don't get that either.
But the thing that he said, though, you know, Flea playing with Jane's Addiction, and, you know, Flea is, you know, he's a great bass player.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what he wanted. He wanted to be able to play with other people and still be in Metallica and be known as this bass player who can play with other bands, and he's mm-hmm. really, really good. And he was just, I don't think he ever achieved that status.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, because usually bass players aren't the ones who are, well, then there's Paul McCartney, never mind.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So yeah. REO Speedweed dealer, now known as Speed Dealer after complaints from the 80s rock band REO Speedwagon.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Get a whole album out of them.
Yeah.
And then I have a punk project that's going to be released on Full Moon this month.
Wow.
On our Chop House Records label again, called Papa Wheelie.
P-A-P-A
Wheelie.
Papa Wheelie.
And cool. Play guitar.
Papa Wheelie, I like that.
Scream in that, like the Cookie Monster vocals that everybody loves. That's all intact. So the metal thing is still very much intact in me, but this Echo Brain thing is the colorful musical, you know,
right.
Beauty that's happened with... Yeah, three basic fundamental elements of Echo Brain. Me as the heavy guy, Brian Sagarfina is raised as an orthodox jazz drummer. He didn't, you know, really, when he came over to jam with me the first time when he was 16, he saw the Metallica records on the wall, the platinum and all that. He didn't own a Metallica record. He didn't give a crap.
Really? Oh,
hey, that's pretty cool, but where's the drum kit? You know,
right.
It's like, and then Dylan comes from the school of the Beatles and Pink Floyd. He gets his name from Bob Dylan. His parents are California 60s hippie parents. He told me one time in an interview, it was a couple weeks ago, he can't remember a time that there wasn't a Gibson SG in his household.
Oh, that's nice.
And his mom writes children's music for a living.
Oh, cool.
So he's always had that, like, major key, oompa oompa positive music, you know, the wheels on the bus go around and around, that type of thing in his head. It's instilled in him. Harmonies and all those things. He can play any instrument you put in front of him. He is the gifted one of our band.
Wow.
As Hetfield was the gifted one of Metallica. Dylan Donkin is the gifted one of Echo Brain, and we support his work. He is the main songwriter, and we back up all his stuff. I am the bass player and the propulsion,
right.
The leader of this band, but not the front man of this band. Or, you know, everybody's on even playing field as far as musicianship.
That's cool. We're talking.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because
he talks a lot.
He knows that he knows his
right.
place too. At the
yes.
same time, though.
Yes, he does.
You know, I like his courage.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He's not afraid to. He wasn't afraid to make this huge change in his life. He
right.
could have just kept his mouth shut and just
gosh.
Sat quiet and rode the bus all the way to the end, to the Glory Land. Well, he was already in the Glory Land, but I mean, he could have rode it until, you know, he got to be an old man, but he didn't do that. So there's a certain aspect of that that's admirable.
Yes. How difficult must that have been to leave, walk away from Metallica?
Yeah.
One of the Led Zeppelin of their generation.
Right.
You know?
Now, here he doesn't sound like he's down about it whatsoever.
No.
Now, I'd be interested to know what he thinks about in 2022 about what he
right.
did, because not much has happened for him since then.
Right.
After leaving a year later, he still was hopeful, and a lot of the things were on the horizon,
yeah.
and he was getting phone calls. Hey, the ex-bass player of Metallica. Well, 20 years later, whatever it is, I wonder if that's still happening.
Mm, I don't know.
Yeah.
Jason Newsted of Echo Brain.
That's right.
Are all these guys from out in California?
Where yeah, San Francisco. And we're playing, actually tonight we're performing
that's
as
right.
a five-piece at the Galaxy.
At the Galaxy, which
at
is
Galaxy.
At 1227 Washington. And,
doors open at 7.
Right.
We have a band out of Portland named the Helio Sequence.
Wow.
That's opening for us. It's a guy on guitar, drums, and a laptop computer blasting out of these huge bass bins. That it's just incredible, psychedelic, beautiful music, eccentric. we didn't want to have just some regular, you know, four white guys rock band up there jamming
right.
before us or something. The couple of hours of entertainment that we've got put together in the show, it is just that. It's very, very entertaining. So Echo Brain's on stage at 9:30 tonight.
9:30, that's what I was going to ask you. Now, will we hear pretty much this whole CD?
You will hear that whole CD and at least a half dozen new songs, cover song or two.
And you know people are going to want to know if you're going to do any Metallica. Or
no way. Okay. No way. We don't play that game.
Cool.
We've already been there.
Oh, wow.
They don't play that. And I salute them for that.
Yeah, good question.
Yep.
That we are not in any way ever going to ride on the laurels of Metallica.
Right. This you
band
shouldn't have to.
This band can stand completely on its own power and its own beauty. We have 20 new songs ready for the next album right now that we will go into record shortly. And I mean, it's very, very cool.
Boring.
Oh,
I mean that. Who? I mean, back then, who cared so much? You know, I mean, even now, but just saying back.
I know.
They have 20 new songs. Hey, Echo Brain. Woohoo.
Yeah, but in the early 80s, you could have said the same thing about Metallica, right?
Yeah. John, you know, you could have.
I mean, you never know, but you're right. I mean, what he didn't realize, I guess, at that point, and we didn't realize either, that rock and roll was coming to an end in terms of being able to be a viable music formula or format. That radio could still play new rock songs because radio plays no new rock songs anywhere, period.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a rock song that's been a number one hit in this country in 20 years, probably.
Yeah, a long time. An official hit. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we had no idea that the art form was about ready to fold up like it has.
Thanks,
Constant
Gene.
Forward positive motion.
Great. Man, it's good to see somebody excited about what they're doing.
And jazzed.
I know, I can tell. Can I play a song and you hang, or do you?
Yeah, let's hang. Let's do a little song.
Okay, which one?
I think we should probably play people "Colder World," which is the first track, and this is the one that Dylan and Brian brought me. They always brought me demos over the years, and I've given them like you know an 8-track machine here and a Radio Shack microphone there, and now we've worked up to 24-track digital and some pretty serious, Sennheiser.
Yeah, I bet you got
like
some
that.
Good toys.
Yeah, I've got some good toys, and I've turned them onto some good toys so that they can come up with things too.
What's he worth? How much money did he make while he was in?
You know, I don't know if he was a songwriter. That's the big deal.
Yeah.
I'll check it out here.
He wasn't, I don't think.
No, he was not. I don't. And you know, sometimes they give credit even when you know credit is not due. But
give credit on one or two songs. If you get credit writing credits on one or two songs on an album that sells 10 million copies, you're making some money.
You won't believe it, Jason Newsted. American heavy metal musician who has a net worth of $60
million. Wow.
He made a lot of money.
Sure did.
When he was with Metallica. Wow.
Well, what are the other Metallica guys worth then?
I don't know. Well, they got to be worth more. But
how much more?
Okay. Well, let's look up James. Yeah. James Hetfield.
Jason Newsted, $60 million. I didn't expect that. I was going to say like maybe 10. 5 to 10.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, I mean, it was Field. James Hetfield.
100 million.
300 million.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that goes to show you right
Big
there.
Big one, 300 million.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, Jason Newsted did all right then, but.
Yeah. I wouldn't complain.
No, huh?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, go out and do whatever you want now. Yeah, right. Yeah. And for a moment there, I was feeling sorry for the guy. I was like, oh, my God, nothing's happened for him in 20 years. Yeah, but you got to get $60 million in the bank. So
they brought this demo to me. They recorded, I don't know when it was, but the initial thing at this very beginning reminded me so much of a young John Lennon. When I first heard it, I played it over and over and over again. I could not get enough. The next day, I called them and asked them if they wanted to make this album.
Great.
So this is the song I heard, The Colder World.
Colder World?
Echo Brain's debut album.
Echo Brain, Jason Newsted is in the studio, and you'll see him tonight with his band at the Galaxy. We'll talk more about that, but let's get into it. This is Colder World from Echo Brain from KSH Real Rock Radio.
Very nice.
Yes, I like that. That is Echo Brain for the first time ever on KSH Real Rock Radio. Right.
You know, it makes me want to listen to that song now.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Good.
I'll have to check it out after the...
And he's 59 years old, and he's worth $60 million.
Oh, he's 59?
He's 59 years old. Yeah, he'll be the big 6-0 next year.
Was he the oldest of the Metallica guys? Because they're all in their 50s.
I think
they're all in their 50s. I don't think there are any 60-year-olds in Metallica.
Ooh, I don't know. Lars Ulrich is the richest member of Metallica. He has $350 million. Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hit the button, John. Here we go.
Colder World, and it's self-titled CD, right, Echo Bird?
That's right. That's the one.
Jason Newsted is the conductor of this band. Jason Newsted, of course.
I'm just the boss, that's all.
Formerly of Metallica, of course, and this is his band. And, man, that's what a departure from Metallica.
Yeah.
And it's good, and it sounds good.
Definitely.
And what did the guys think when they heard it, your old band? Did they...
Very respectful of it, actually. And
yeah.
Kirk Hammett is still giving me my favorite review of all the hundreds of reviews I've seen so far. And he says, Jason, you have a diamond.
You have a diamond. Ah, that's very nice.
Coming from him, it means really a lot to me. it's something important for people to know that they're like, well, why did you go for this sound? Or what made you decide to go to this sound? Or whatever. It's like, we started as a drunken neighborhood porch jam. And we became this beautiful music. You know, together,
right.
We brought all these different talents together and made this thing. It was never a contrived thing where you're looking for other guys to play, you know, like,
right.
Hey, dude, let's play metal music and get a demo and be famous and all that stuff. It was never, ever that, because I had my own thing going on. Those guys had their own thing going on. When we could get together, we would, whenever
right.
it happened, and just trying to keep it alive and always being smart enough to record everything that we played.
Well, most people think if you're in a band like Metallica or even me, like work at a station like Casey, like, we can't like anything else. You know?
Right.
You get pigeonholed into...
Gee, John, is that true?
Yeah, it is true, yes. Yes.
Banger, and that's all he's going to do for his whole life. He'll never be able to put out a record like that. But then you put it out and you go, wow, man. It's just...
You know, metal is my forte, right? I mean,
right.
that's what I spent half of my adult life working on it.
Lars and James are both 58 years old.
Okay.
So they're right around the same age.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sound and style that was heavy.
Yeah.
Right? And so I haven't changed that. I still play the same style. It's just that we have other guys that play different styles within this band to make it, go to the places it goes.
Yeah.
If there was four metal guys in the band, then it would sound like metal, but there's not. So it doesn't.
Right.
You know, it's just really pretty logical stuff.
Are you banging your head on stage to this stuff, too,
though? I am still Jason.
You're still Jason.
There is no... I'm still the same Jason that everybody has always known. There is no... I'm still 115%.
When you left Metallica, how hard was it? Was it a quick decision? Was it something that you thought of for weeks, months?
Hey, here we go. All right. Got to it. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I remember the press release when you quit. It was something for your health. I don't remember the exact thing that was on the website. It was to become healthier or something like that. Mm-hmm. We were all kind of worried about you. What exactly was going on?
It did have something to do with my neck at the time. I mean, there was pretty, there's been some serious damage done. It's there every day. There's pain every day, whether I'm playing or not. It's just the damage done. That's what happens. So that's just something I learned to deal with over time. It has to do with respect issues and, you know, people like letting other people live and that whole kind of thing.
And so did it take a long time? And did you start thinking...
What, somebody tried to kill him?
No. No, I think it's what he talked about before. He wanted to branch out and do stuff, and they didn't want him to do it.
Yeah. Respect. And you blow it off and go, no, I can...
It was the hardest thing ever, ever. It basically, if anyone can relate, if you...
Oh, is that... Turn it over, flip it over. Oh no!
Stop.
We'll see if the see if the other side.
See if the person who was running the control board at that on that. No, that was that you?
That was me.
Oh,
that was in the powerhouse, though. I mean, as far as tapes go, things like that.
3.5 months away from our Pink Floyd tribute, which I guess
it's
would
over.
Make year number four. I think.
Wow, El Monstero,
year
number four.
And, of course, that is always a great event, right, when everybody's off of school. And it's the holiday season and all that. We'll let you know when we get closer. Right now, Collective Soul.
Yep. That's it.
That's how it ended. Okay.
That's how it ended.
Well, you got a lot in there. And and then the good question at the end there, he pretty much answered it before the tape ran out. So.
Yeah, he said respect.
Yeah.
That was it. Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoyed Jason Newsted.
Okay, yeah. And remember, again, if you didn't check out our podcast last week. Jason Newsted was on that podcast as well, and it kind of leads into this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. He talks about how great it is to be in Metallica, and here he was talking about why he left.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. There you go.
There
you insight that you can only get on the Casey tapes,
that's
most
right.
likely. I mean, who else has these interviews from all these rock stars from the past and are presenting them again like we are as members of a radio station that's been around 55 years. We got a bunch of old stuff yet to bring you. So check out our future podcasts for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan. On Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
See you next week. AMF.
The KSHE Tapes with Hewman and Favaz. For more on the history of KSHE, go to KSHE95.com or the KSHE mobile app.